If you're not excited about this season, you need to check to make sure your blood is like flowing in your body. You should be more excited about this Texans season than any season that they have had in their history. The talent on defense, plus they have a quarterback.
First down, Texans at the Houston 22, and the ball is out. A fumble, and the Patriots have it. Watson and Miller mishandle the exchange, and New England has an early turnover.
I feel good about the Texans this weekend as well.
Watson fakes the handoff. Deshaun with a lot of time, and he's going to air it out deep toward the end zone, and tipped, and it's caught by a defender. They're going to call it a pick. Yes.
You're going to have to outlast them, but it's happening on Sunday. I see the Texans winning.
Watson in the gun. Here's the snap. Deshaun looking. Deshaun trying to get time to get his receivers open. Scrambles out to the right, and he's going to air it out long and deep and tipped and incomplete. The game is over. The Texans make a second half run, but it's not enough as Houston begins at 0-1, losing to the Patriots again, 27-20.
God, I hate losing to the Patriots, but damn it, it feels like this nightmare is never going to end. Ever, ever. I'm never going to let myself ever get optimistic again against this team. Ever.
Do you hate losing to the Patriots, or do you hate losing in such a, as Paul put it yesterday in the post-game show, a beta male fashion, where the coach is trying everything he can to just not embarrass himself. As long as you don't play to win the game, you play to be slightly less embarrassed. You play to, you just run the clock out at the end of the first half when you got three timeouts in your pocket, when you should only have two timeouts in your pocket. You punt with 4.5 minutes left. You do all these things that, oh God, just anything. Please, Bill Belichick, please don't hurt me any further. I still love you, Daddy. I still love you, Daddy. Just all kinds of weird psychological crap being played out. And I just want everybody to just take a step back and realize you can build from here, because when Deshaun Watson fumbled on the very first snap that he took, this was you're right back to where it was when Tom Savage first came in as a rookie, where you couldn't get the snap off. So you can build from there. You can build from Tom Savage, however many years ago. What was that? 4 or 5 years ago when he couldn't get it, when he couldn't hand the ball off. There you go.
Okay. So here's what I'm frustrated by a bunch of different things this morning. But the thing I'm here. All right. Here's where I'm at. I assign 50% of the blame on this game to Bill O'Brien and 50% on Deshaun Watson.
And you should. It's equal.
Yes, I think it's equal. Here's why. O'Brien, in terms of game management, in terms of clock management, and really more of something that I can't really just pin specific words on, but just a general feeling that when the Texans play the Patriots, the biggest mismatch on the field is not a specific player against anybody else, but it's the head coach against the other head coach. That's the feeling that you get watching most of these games. Now, offensively, just offensively specifically, I actually blame Deshaun Watson for more of it than O'Brien. He did not play a good game.
Oh, he was awful. He was awful.
He played
this
a bad game. He played a flat out bad game. He was missing throws down the field. He tried to be a hero on almost every single play, and it was a very disappointing opening week. There's
hero
no other
ball.
Way to put it.
Little hero ball here from Deshaun Watson. Yeah, and look, there are things with Deshaun Watson that you feel can get better, because he still essentially is a rookie quarterback. He doesn't have 16 games of tape under him. But in a week where I don't think we will be talking a whole lot about Deshaun Watson, let's just make sure that we establish that Deshaun Watson was part of the problem. The big problem is, while it's equal for this game, Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson, it is the same things that we keep on seeing from Bill O'Brien, and it's year five. How is this still happening? How has he not looked in the mirror and said, you know, game management-wise, I do have some issues? Like, how is he not getting to that point? And then when he is asked about a situation where you're playing the Patriots, give yourself every damn chance you have to win. Give yourself every chance you have. Oh, it's not my job to call a timeout. Dude, you're playing the Patriots.
It's not my job.
Anything you can do to win. And he didn't do it. And he gets combative. And that's what makes me mad. Because I want to like him. I do like him.
Yeah.
But these things, it's he's so
stubborn.
Resistant
he's
to the
stubborn.
Idea that he struggles there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, like everything you just said, can be encapsulated in this. I would include a lot of Deshaun Watson's poor play. It's because this team came in unprepared. And I'm not talking about number of preseason snaps necessarily, although I've got thoughts about that. But I, whenever I look at Bill O'Brien and evaluate him as a head coach or an offensive coordinator, this is what I think. I think Bill O'Brien could be a very good offensive coordinator if he had a better head coach. I also think that Bill O'Brien could be a pretty damn good head coach if he had a better offensive coordinator. He is not one of these rare creatures who is capable of doing both those things. And I don't know why he pretends that he is or why he thinks that it is. Even when George Godsey, who, by the way, where the hell is George Godsey?
Let's find out.
Can I say this? As a head coach goes, and a head coach, I almost want to say quasi-GM now because he and Brian Gainer are going to be so buddy-buddy. How many times do we have to see both coaches and players on the field who aren't even fit to be in the NFL starting and or coaching for the Texans? Where, well, look at this. The stat that they brought up yesterday, four of the guys who started for the Texans offensive line last year are not in the NFL right now. And I ask you, if Kevin Johnson, let's pretend Kevin Johnson doesn't have any concussion issues right this moment. If Kevin Johnson, after that game, after that atrocity yesterday, if Kevin Johnson got cut today, would there be a single team in the NFL that would even want him as a backup? You can't put him on the field. He is personally responsible for at least 17, maybe 21 points. It would work out to 24. Unbelievable.
Well, his decline to me has been staggering. To me, it's like when the Astros traded for Gomez and he went from good player to being just flat out awful.
But they keep putting him out there. Like Xavier Suafilo. Oh, thank God. Thank God Xavier Suafilo has gotten cut by another team and hasn't been picked up, because I was so tired of Xavier Suafilo apologists trying to point out, like, hey, look, he had five good plays in this game.
You can build
on that. For the life of me, but they kept rolling him out there week after week after week. Xavier Suafilo, Jeff Allen, Bruno Jaca freaking, I'd like to punch you in the kidneys, meanie, because that's what he does to defensive linemen after they kick his ass. I'm going to punch him in the kidneys on his way to the quarterback. That'll learn him. All those guys out of the NFL, and yet the Texans saw fit to start those guys last year. Now you look at yesterday, I'm optimistic about the guards. I think those are definite upgrades at guards. They had some ability to run the ball in the second and third quarters, and a lot of it because the guards, especially when they were pulling those guards, those guys packed a wallop. But the offensive tackles are an issue. And Tony Romo's awesome. I really like him as a commentator. Spreading it out was the last thing they needed to do in that game. They started to have their success when they actually lined up and started trying to block people and run on people. When they tried to spread it out, neither of those offensive tackles, well, one of three of them, can block guys one-on-one. It was just, that was a really, really tough situation.
To me, the hit of the morning is the exchange between Bill O'Brien and John McClain about the end of the first half. When New England's driving, they're down 14-6. You had a bad first half, but it's manageable. It's 14-6. If you go to the half down 14-6, or hell, if you go to another half down, even, let's say, 17-6, not a terrible situation to be in. Gronk has a very questionable catch. They don't review it from upstairs, which is on them. O'Brien doesn't call a timeout. Patriots properly go. They run the next play, etc. Bill O'Brien exchanged with John about that sequence after the loss.
With 1:09 left in the first half, Gronkowski made the catch.
Yeah.
It looked like he didn't.
Right.
Think about calling the timeout.
No. It's not my job to do that. And let me make it clear that I don't have challenges with under 2 minutes to go. Okay. Like, so we're all clear on that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
Do you think they blew it?
I don't have any idea, John. I'll have to watch it on tape. That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. You know, what I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, down 14-6. You know, I'm not trying to say call a timeout there. They rule it a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So, you know, whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
His analysis of that was wrong in every single way. Like, either he is stubborn or he is stupid. There's only one of two options, seriously. Because what he just said at the end, like, you should not be worried at all about the Patriots having more time to run a play. That's the last thing you should be worried about.
To call a play.
But a timeout benefits you.
The defense is on their heels at that
yes.
point there. Like, did you feel comfortable and confident
yes.
about your defense, which Rob Gronkowski, never heard of him. Rob Gronkowski? Why would I bother covering Rob Gronkowski? But do you think your defense didn't need maybe a little bit of time to collect themselves as well?
Exactly. You're not going up against a high school level offense quarterbacked by Marcus Mariota.
Right,
were
they going to flag it in from the sideline
right, where
or
they
something?
Need,
yeah.
Where they need the timeout or something like that. Like, Tom Brady's on your side of the field. You should operate under the assumption that he is going to score. And look, after the game, the NFL, there was a pool report, and he said, look, they were going to look at it, but the Patriots got the playoff so quickly. And there was another sequence in this game where the Texans tried to get a playoff quickly on a DeAndre Hopkins catch that ultimately ended up being a catch, but they weren't able to get it off because they weren't as quick as the Patriots are doing that. But the Patriots have practiced this stuff for years and years and years. We're talking
about all
20
the time.
Years. So they're so used to doing stuff like this, you have to assume the referees are going to screw this one up. And sometimes it's not your job, but when you are down 14-6 and you had the sequence that just happened to you moments before where the Texans...
It's not my job to do that.
Where the Texans were at their own 47, Ryan Griffin false start, illegal block above the waist by Sammy Coates. They go from their 47 to the 32.
Which was
then
a very
they
spotty
punt
call, by the way.
Ball by Trevor Daniel. It's partially blocked. I mean, everything was going against them in that moment. So, okay, fine. You're stopping the clock and you're giving the Patriots a little bit more time to compose themselves. You are in the midst of a collapse at the end of the first half. It's fine. Call the damn timeout. Let them review the sweeping call.
Let's think about what was happening there in its essence. Like, if you break it down to the very basic things. Okay, Bill, you don't want to give the Patriots a timeout right there. Bill, did it look like the Patriots wanted a timeout right there?
Exactly.
Are you, Bill, you gave the Patriots exactly what they wanted. The Patriots did not want you to call a timeout. Like, do you even get that? Do you understand that? Your daddy is over there across the sideline from you, like that creepy old dude in the Billy, oh, shoot, the Adam Sandler movie.
What's Billy on? Madison?
No, not Billy Madison, the football one.
Waterboy? Oh, Waterboy. Yeah.
He's got your playbook. He's in your head. Oh, my gosh. What am I going to do, John? Give Belichick exactly what he wants? Yeah, I'll do that. Like, what am I going to do, John? Am I going to try to take something away that Belichick... Like, Belichick desperately, desperately wanted to run a play there.
Yes.
Tom Brady desperately wanted to run a play
because
there.
Because they ruled it a catch. So, because they ruled it a catch
gonna,
in the field.
What am I going to do, John? Stand in the way of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? Of course I wouldn't do that. That would be foolish. I need those three timeouts to swallow at the end of the half when I just run the clock out because I'm not going to try to... Remember, we got to play not to embarrass ourselves any further. That's the key and critical thing. The players in the locker room and on the field, you saw J.J. Watt at the end of the half.
Angry.
You saw J.J. Watt when he was telling them, like, come on, get the damn ball going. And then he might have said, what the F afterwards. I couldn't read the lips quite well enough. The players know, Bill. The players know that they got their asses kicked. Like, do you think they're morons? Do you think they're stupid? Do you think they don't get it? You're punting with 4.5 minutes left? Who the hell do you think your players are? Do you think your players are going to be fooled by a 14-point margin instead of a 21-point margin? What the hell? 4.5 minutes left, Tom Brady on the field, you're punting? What in your brain were you thinking that you thought that somehow you were going to salvage that game by punting the ball with 4.5 minutes left?
That's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen this franchise do. Punting down 14 points with 4.5 minutes left in the game. Like, that's the absolute bitch move.
With Tom Brady as the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you're relying on that instance that your quarterback who hasn't been good that day to drive the length of the field twice in less than 4 minutes and also get 2-3 and outs against the Patriots.
They didn't deserve that muff punt by Riley McCarron. And on top of that, how the hell did no one ask after the game why they punted with 4:30 left to go in the game? And again, To me,
he planned on McCarron fumbling.
I mean, here's 2011.
Well, look, we know McCarron really well. He was here. The most
embarrassing moment I've ever felt covering this team. Like, that was just such a beta bitch move. Hey, pathetic.
You can't defend it.
Bill, what exactly is your job?
I'm not a narrator. Oh, okay. I'm not an author. Yeah. I'm not a journalist. Hmm. You are the narrative man.
We are.
So, okay.
It's not my job to do that.
Throughout the course of the show, we'll try to figure out exactly what Bill's...
It's not my job to do that.
What his job actually is.
All right, we'll take your phone call, 713-572-4610, and go into more of these decisions that O'Brien made in this game. All your morning headlines at 6:30. This is Mad Radio.